Peggy Noonan has made a name for herself writing for men in powerful positions. She worked first for Dan Rather at CBS News, and then at the White House as a speechwriter for President Reagan. She also wrote some of George Bush's presidential campaign speeches. Noonan has written a memoir about her time at the White House. Book critic John Leonard has a review of What I Saw at the Revolution.
The first thing to be said about Peggy Noonan, who stuck around Washington long enough to be lip-synced by two different presidents, is that she's a dandy maker of phrases, often of sentences, sometimes of whole paragraphs. Listen to her justify her job. A great speech, she says, from a leader to the people, eases our isolation, breaks down the walls, includes people. It takes them inside a spinning thing and makes them part of the gravity. Listen to her describe the people who got in the way of her doing that job. What I mean is, she says, when men in politics are together, testosterone poisoning makes them insane. She can even be savage discussing hardcore conservatives on her own ideological side. Well, she says, what you get is a bunch of creepy little men with creepy little beards who need something to seethe on. State Department cookie pushers, the Trilateral Commission, some hate to live on. The second thing to be said about Peggy Noonan is that for the purposes of this memoir, and her deliverance from ghosting into a more agreeable career, she's had to invent a literary persona, a sassy cross-circuit of Holden Caulfield and Fran Lebowitz, but right-wing smarty pants, too, like National Review magazine, with some class animus for seasoning, a weakness for the sarcastic, and way too many exclamation marks. This persona works reasonably well, except it sometimes leaves her sounding dumber than she ought to, as if she had to apologize for her copy of Ezra Pound's Cantos, as if she really believed that all liberals are rich and guilty nitwits who went to Harvard and Yale instead of Fairleigh Dickinson, and all activists on behalf of the homeless are cruel manipulators of the insane, and only Republicans can talk to janitors, and Paul Johnson and Jean-Francois Revel are intellectual heavyweights, and George Gilder isn't merely foolish when he babbles about the humane nature of the free market. To have met Gorbachev, and to tell us only that he looks like a retired hockey goalie, is not just to miss the boat of history, but to jump off after it sets sail, thumbing your nose as you drown. Take that, you commie pinko. The third thing to be said about Peggy Noonan is that almost against her will, she does damage to the president she claims she loves. Reagan's White House is compared to a beautiful clock that makes all the right sounds, but when you open it up, there is nothing inside. Of the president himself, she says that his intellect was only slightly superior to average, that he didn't hear very much of what was said around him, and that the battle for his mind, and I quote again, was like the trench warfare of World War I. Never have so many fought so hard for such barren terrain. Noonan quotes a friend of the president's, "Behind those warm eyes is a lack of curiosity that is somehow disorienting." And so is her memoir, however much fun, somehow disorienting. Her real gripe seems to be that they messed with her copy. If you've seen the movie Reds, you know that that was John Reed's real gripe with the Russian Revolution, too. It always happens to flacks, after which they write for themselves, or they die.
John Leonard writes about television for New York Magazine, is a columnist for New York Newsday, and is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning. He reviewed What I Saw at the Revolution by Peggy Noonan.